Good evening. I think we're about, we're on. Good evening. We're welcome live to our Christmas Eve service. It's good to have everybody. We are jam-packed. And I've got my little granddaughter up here. So, oh, here she comes. So we have a new two-week-old baby Riley is in the building. And she's back. She's right back there on the back row. We're trying to keep her in a little secluded area. But it's she's sleeping, so when you sing, don't sing too loud. Unless it's really party, you know, keep her asleep. Good to have everybody tonight. We're just going to kind of start off with some songs that you all know and hear on the radio. Then we're going to turn to some Christian Baptist songs, Christmas songs. And then we're going to have just a short word from God. And then we're going to end up taking what I think is a beautiful time of the year to do the sacraments of the Lord's Supper. And we'll make sure everybody at home have an opportunity to get your crackers and juice. And I talked to, I don't know how many people today. I got here about 3 hours early and just talked to people after everybody's online watching us tonight. And they're going to Zoom and take the Lord's Supper with us too. So it's just awesome to have y'all with us. I hope everybody's in the mood to sing. I want to make sure that all the kids, how many kids do we have in the building? Because I got to make sure Mike put your arm. How many kids have got? Okay, well, I think I got enough. I want to make sure when you leave, I'll meet you at the front door and I have an extra special present just for the kids. And Mike, if I have an extra, you can have one because I love it. This is really neat. But on the way out, make sure you grab me and we'll be right there at Lou Ann's desk and I'll have a little present for all the little kids. Like,
my little kid.
Well, Orlene, I think probably you qualify, yeah. You know, sometimes the Christmas songs don't mean anything. It has nothing to do with Christ, but it has something to do about the season. And I love these two here that we're going to do together, and then we're going to get into the real Christmas songs. And I do this one every year because it's probably the most popular song that's ever been written by Irving Berlin. Thank you.
looking back to see. Do we have anybody that has a real good, boisterous voice that has their Bible with them? I got a verse or two that I want you to look up and read for me before we do this next song. And I think this word is what the whole season's all about. So, somebody have the Bible open that can help me find. Michael's going to do it. Okay. You got that good radio voice?
Teacher voice.
Teacher voice. That'll work. Look it up. Isaiah 9:6. If somebody else wants to look up Isaiah 7:14, since Mike's doing it on his phone, that may be hard to jump from one to the next.
9:6.
Isaiah 9:6. If you would just stand up, Mike, and just read that for me, if you would, real loud.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be one called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Amen. Isaiah 7:14. Curtis has it, okay. With the mask on and everything.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel.
And I believe that verse is quoted in Matthew 1:23, talking about the name that the child is going to be called. Now, you may not know this, but I think once we get into it, you'll be able to sing it with me a little bit. This talks about his name, Emmanuel. That means God's with us. What could have bridged the canyon that was caused by my sin and yours? Christ was the only perfect, blameless Lamb of God that could have been the bridge that gave us the access into heaven. And that Emmanuel is so important. This song just talks about several different. His name is Master, Savior, Lion of Judah. Blessed Prince of Peace, Shepherd, Fortress, Rock of Salvation.
Fortress, Rock of Salvation.
of glory. His name is love. As we, I think, prepare ourselves to hear God's word, and I think I'll do this before communion. But I sent out a little email this week, and it wasn't a joke. We have the best news in the world right now. In the world, the vaccine has arrived. And it's called Jesus Christ, because you look up the word vaccine in the dictionary and the definition of it says this: vaccine, a substance used to stimulate the production of antibodies and to provide immunity against one or several diseases. As we enter into the Christmas night of Christmas Eve and going into Christmas Day, the number one topic that you're going to hear between now and probably this time next year in the news and social media is about a cure for a terrible disease. I want to present to you a Christmas message tonight that reminds you why the coronavirus has a mortality rate of 3% in this world. Sin has a mortality rate of 100%. Which should we be more concerned with? The mortality rate of sin. And the good news is, Jesus Christ is the vaccine for sin and death. Isn't this season really about the gift of a spiritual vaccine that was given to us thousands of years ago in the form of a little baby in Bethlehem? And we've talked about this baby in Bethlehem and how God used the people, God used the promises, God used the interruptions. Last week, how God uses unexpected detours in our life for this event to happen tonight. And ladies and gentlemen, I've been vaccinated. I don't know if you have or not, but I want to let you know the side effects that I have received from the vaccination of Jesus Christ is peace, joy, and eternal life, no matter what's going on in the news, no matter who's in the White House, no matter what's going on in my life. That's the side effects of the vaccine of Jesus Christ. And he can do the same thing for you tonight. I want you to see this in your word, if you have it with you tonight. It's in John. We've been looking at the Christmas story in several different versions, but John chapter 1, you're thinking, hey, wait, this is the Christmas story. Oh, ye of little faith. It is. Do you remember when you had your first child, like little Karina? You're so precious. She's just smiling. Mom and dad would do anything for that child. We experience it because we remember that feeling of the sacrifices that parents would give for their kids. Sleepless nights, like she was up till 3 this morning. Countless hours of cheerleading camps, of football games, of basketball games, and little league games, and soccer games, and Christmas programs. Countless hours of that. You would sacrifice
your very self because of the love that you have for your kids. Genuine love and willingness to give and sacrifice. Genuine love and the willingness to give and sacrifice go together. God wanted to show us how much he loved us. When we had the disease of sin in our life, he found one thing, one person, one heartbeat that he was going to be able to show all of mankind exactly how much he loved. And it says in John chapter 1, verse 14, I'd love for you to write it down or at least look it up on your phone or whatever. Go be on Facebook right now. Look up on your phone. John chapter 1, 14. If you're there, say, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because here we go. So the word, and the word in my Bible and possibly yours, is capitalized. The word became human and made his home among us. Talking about tomorrow night. Tomorrow as it symbolizes. The word of God was born in Bethlehem. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. God's love for you caused him to become human. God's love for you. Let's not even talk about me. Talk about you. God's love for you. He loved you so much, he wanted to sacrifice. He became human. Who here was the Word? Who's the Word they're talking about? Jesus. Jesus became human. Jesus didn't exist his first breath in the manger. Jesus is God. The Bible tells us that God exists as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God and the Son has always existed. He was only recognized as Jesus a little over 2,000 years ago. But Jesus was in the planning room when God said, let's create the heaven and the earth. Because Jesus was there. He just became a child on Christmas. John 1:1 goes like this. In the beginning, the Word already existed. It was already around. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everybody. God loves you so much, he became human. God loves you so much that he laid aside his divine rights. Philippians 2, 6 and 7. We're jumping around. Philippians 2, 6 and 7. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Philippians 2, 6, and 7. Go to barn, burn through this because we got to take communion. But God not only loved you and caused him to lay aside his divine rights, God's love for you caused him to save, not judge you. John 3, 16 and 17 in the NLT. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everybody that believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God sent his Son into this world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. So how does he save us through this? Philippians 2:8 is point number four. God loved you so much that he died on the cross for you. Philippians 2:8 goes like this. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. We talked about at the very beginning, did we not? Real love makes sacrifices. Real love makes sacrifices. Every parent would offer up their life in a moment to save the life of their child. There wouldn't be any hesitation in that. Even Jesus said, this is what the manifestation of love is. John 15:13, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. That's what Jesus did for dying on the cross for us. Last scripture, Colossians 2:13-14. You were dead in your sins. Because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us, and he took it all away by nailing it on the cross. One last thing that I want you to remember before you go home tonight, before you take this, before you start thinking about life. God's love for you can't be stopped. It can't be stopped. If you don't believe that, write down Romans 8:38-39. I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. Neither death, nor life, angels, demons, neither our fears for today, listen to this, because some of you are fearing today, or your worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because God's love for you can't be stopped, that means God is relentlessly pursuing you. I don't know what you're getting for Christmas this year. I hope it's exactly what you want. I tell you what, there's not a better present than receiving what Christmas is about tonight. And that's the love of Jesus Christ. Because that's the ultimate gift that he wants to give you. And I don't think as history plays itself out, that everybody in the Christmas story knew what was going on. I don't think that they knew everything that was going to happen when the angels appeared and said, there's going to be a baby born. Will you do it? Listen to the words of this as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper.
sons and daughters. Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? The sleepy child you deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know?
Praise the Lord.
We can have the deacons come forward, and I think it's a perfect time to partake of what was in the original plan since the beginning of all time. When you take it, make sure you get both cups. The bread is underneath and the cup is on top. The gift. The sacrifice. Now, if you haven't caught this, you didn't listen a couple minutes ago. The sacrifice. Because he loved you so much. It wasn't just to be born. It was to have to die. And knowing that that was what was going to happen makes this night not about Christmas trees and lights. It's about love and sacrifice. Gwen, I'm going to ask you if you would just say a prayer for the cup and the bread, and we'll let you pass out here just in a second. Let's pray, folks.
We're thankful now, Father, for this time. We're thankful for what this illustration tonight does. We're thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ that saved us all. Be with us now, Father, as we go on through this service. May we accept the burden that we have and the joys that we have by being Christians in this world. Go with us to the rest of the service tonight now, Father. God bless and direct us in everything that we do. These things we ask in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
If you would, take the cup and we'll take it all together. So just hold on to it and we'll waiting for everybody to get there. It says in Scripture several different places that we ought to take this seriously. And I can't think of a night that Good Friday would probably be the other one. The two times that we get together like this for sure, communion. Because the importance of the meaning of the sacrifice, if it doesn't make you realize what kind of gift, then we really, really miss the boat. Everybody get, y'all get one? Everybody, you guys get? Just get? Now, if you would, just take the it says in Scripture in 1 Corinthians 11, the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. So make sure you have the bread. When he given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And everybody online, I hope they're taking it with us. And that bread represents the body that was broken for us. The body that was pierced. The body that was spit on. The body that was beat upon. The body that was crucified. But if it wasn't for the second sacrament, it took the blood. He couldn't have just been beat up. He had to sacrifice his life for us to be able to get the pure forgiveness of our sins and make it into heaven to celebrate what Christmas is, what Easter is, and what the empty grave is all about. And it says, in the same way, he took the cup also after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Until he comes. Until he comes. I pray this is the last Christmas we get to spend together on this side of heaven, because I'm ready for him to come. We're closer now than we've ever been in this world. Anybody that knows me knows I don't do pressure presentations. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you haven't opened up the perfect gift that he gave you at Christmas of that child, you're missing. And we're as close to heaven as we're ever going to be right now. And Revelations 22:20 underlines this, boldfaces it, and circles it. And it says, amen, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's all stand and we'll sing. As we close, sing with me if you will. Silent night. Before you go any further, I won't tell you the whole story. But this song came about because of a broken organ. An organ that wouldn't work 202 years ago. 202 years ago in Austria. They wanted to have something of a Christmas Eve service, and their organ broke. And all of a sudden, these words became something completely different by the author that wrote them. It was about a special night, about something that was just silent, and it made such a beautiful impact on the world, and it's made an impact ever since. I want to let you know, in your brokenness, meaning and life and purpose, fulfillment and joy and security and peace can come to pass. Now sing Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. I pray that as we go tonight, as I go to the front door to give out a little gifts for the kids, I pray you've all been vaccinated. I pray that you've all accepted it. I pray that you get the side effects that can only come from Jesus Christ and his sacrificial love. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just come to you and I thank you for the night. I thank you for the event. I thank you for the history of what this night and tomorrow represents in our world of Christmas and Savior and Jesus and Mary and Joseph, the whole story, Lord. But may we see past the characters and the vessels and see the true meaning of the sacrifice because of the love that you have for us. The sacrifice of giving the most precious part of your heart to people like us in a stable, in a dirty world, in a place where they were going to abuse you and hurt you. Thank you for loving us that way. And may we all accept that gift of perfect love to us. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen and amen. Thank you all for being here this evening. Kids, if you would, on the way out, make sure you find me there. We'll be at the front door there to give you a little present. And God bless you. Thank you for all being with us on Bay Springs and Christmas Eve service live. Join us Sunday for another edition of it at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time. God bless you. Merry Christmas to everybody around the country and around the world. God bless. Good night, y'all.